doesn't worry about credit. Wherever he goes, he takes his First Security Bank AmeriCard. Good most any place to charge most anything.
Mountain Dew's got the taste that'll just knock your socks off. Gives you that happy summertime barefoot feeling all year round.
Get the barefoot feeling, drink a little bit of Mountain Dew. Get the barefoot feeling, drinking Mountain Dew.
Dragnet will not be seen this evening in order that we may bring you the following special program. Miles to Go, brought to you by Porter Auto Supply, your headquarters for speed and custom equipment, 362 East Main Street, Pepsi-Cola Bottling Company, Daniel Boone Fried Chicken, Mr. Magic and Mr. Sparkle Car Wash, and Kentucky Insurance Agency, a qualified team of professionals to furnish you with your every insurance need. And Sandale Plaza Car Wash.
What's the matter, Bunky? Do those old seat covers on your car look like someone ran a bulldozer over them? When you offer your friends a ride, do they always turn you down because those faded freight covers look like a national disaster? Holes in your convertible top? And do those worn-out tires hurt your ears with their flapping and flopping as you drive along?
Well, take heart, Bunky. Look up. It doesn't have to stay that way. Go now. Now, I say, to Porter's Auto Supply, 362 East Main Street. Throw away those old seat covers and let Porter's install brand new ones from the most colorful selections in central Kentucky. Replace that old auto top with a factory-like new one from Porter's. Trade in those old tires for safe, dependable hood tires. And Porter's has a complete line of chrome auto accessories and speed equipment for your car, too. So shop Porter's Auto Supply, Bunky. Use your credit card and pay as you ride. Now move, yeah?
Say, look how the hot water detergent and brush action cleans chrome and finish. Mr. Sparkle on the Beltline, Mr. Magic on Southland Drive, and Zandale Plaza on Nicholasville Road offer professional, full-service car washing. Use either their exterior wash or regular wash that includes inside cleaning. Use spray-on wax for finish protection. Your car is detailed and dry at the finish. Protect your auto investment. Go Zandale Plaza, Mr. Magic, or Mr. Sparkle.
Tomorrow, the Memorial Day 500. What draws race drivers to Indianapolis from virtually all phases of racing and from the four corners of the world?
Well, it's a traditional race. It's probably the most important race in the United States. It's been run for many years. It has a great deal of prize money and prestige involved, and I think that anybody that's been in racing for any length of time would at least like to try it.
Well, obviously, one of the main attractions is the rather large purse that they offer. And, of course, then there's the challenge, and there's a lot of kudos to be claimed from, to be obtained from doing well in a race like this, of course. So it's bound to further anyone's career if they do well here.
Well, it's just the fact that the Indianapolis 500-mile race is the biggest sporting event in the world, let alone just being the biggest racing event. Plus the fact that there's a lot of money here and a lot of fame and glory if you do win the race.
Well, I imagine mostly Indianapolis is your biggest race, of course, I believe, in the world. And it, of course, the money helps. It's the biggest paying race.
Oh, it's the biggest race in the world. That certainly has something to do with it, but they pay more money here than they do any other place. If it didn't pay more money, you wouldn't have the cars, and if you didn't have the cars, you wouldn't have the drivers. So I think that the root of all evil starts with money. Naturally, if you're going to win a race and you don't look at the money, you still have to look at Indianapolis because it is the largest sporting event in the world. That's a real good reason by itself.
Every year, there is something new or different at Indianapolis, and this year is no exception. Andy Granatelli, whose turbine engines failed to finish last year, has a new Plymouth engine at the track. Dan Gurney brought four new Alsonite Eagles to Indy, and there are several big changes in equipment for this year. Art Pollard will pilot the STP Plymouth for Granatelli, and we asked him how he felt the engine would do.
Well, we're optimistic, to say the least. They've done a lot of research on the engine, and of course Plymouth has been in racing, however not in championship or Indianapolis type cars, so it'll be something new for this, and we're kind of wondering just how we will do, but we are optimistic. They've got some pretty good figures out of the engine on the dyno, and we think that with the four-wheel drive chassis that we had from last year, it should work pretty good.
Granatelli's turbines never finished to 500. Last year, Graham Hill wrecked his turbine shortly after the halfway mark, and fuel system failures with less than 10 laps to go were blamed for the breakdown of both Joe Leonard's and Art Pollard's cars. We asked Art Pollard if he thought the Granatelli new Plymouth engine would be as durable as the turbocharged Fords and Offies.
Oh, I think so, yes. Your turbo superchargers are a little tough on engines, really, and I think that with a normally aspirated engine, you're definitely going to have a better life, more durability.
Andy Granatelli started building his turbines under totally unlimited rules. Next came a shutdown in rules to smaller engines. Finally, a limit of 23.9 square inches of air intake. After 67, the limit was cut again to 15.9 square inches. And finally, after the 68 race, the rules slashed air intake limits to an area little bigger than the mouth of a coffee cup, 11.9 square inches. Jack Adams brought the only turbine to Indianapolis this year, but it failed to qualify. Before the time trials, we talked to Al Miller, who drove the turbine in practice, and asked him how the lowering of the air intake had affected his chances to qualify.
Well, right now it's hurting us on power. For a simple reason is we can't go down the straightaways as fast as they did last year. See, my straightaway speed this year is approximately 178 miles an hour, where the other boys are running right now 210, 215. So actually I'm handicapped by about 30 miles an hour down the straightaways. And as far as speed through the turns, I'm equal with 90% of the cars going through the turns, but I could pick up on my turns a little bit to help it up. But as far as top speed all the way around the racetrack for the average of it, it's gonna be pretty hard getting up to 162, which I think it possibly will be in the show.
No, none at all, because the regulations have been altered for this year and the turbines have had to reduce their annulus, and that means they've got less power, so they're no longer competitive. They've virtually been eliminated from this race.
In just 4 years of car building, Dan Gurney's All-American Racers have become one of the most successful and best-known race car manufacturers in the world. Last year was a phenomenally successful one for Gurney Eagles. Not only did it take three Eagles finish in the first four places at Indianapolis, but Bobby Unser drove his Eagle to the 1968 USAC Championship. The 1969 Eagles are the first of Gurney's third generation, marking a radical departure in design and overall looks from the 67-68 cars. Dan Gurney had these comments about his new Eagle prior to qualification.
Well, they're coming along gradually. We're about 6 weeks behind schedule at the moment. I think the best that of we built four new 69 Eagles, and the best one is turbocharged, or the quickest one is a turbocharged version. It's running in 167s just this morning, and we're just gaining on that. I've run 165 and a bit with my pushrod on a very weak fuel, so I think we'll be up there on that also. We're making good steady progress.
Andy Granatelli's turbines may be gone from the speedway, but the wedge-shaped design that he and Colin Chapman came here with last year is still very much in evidence this year. We asked Chief Mechanic Phil Casey the reason for the new design.
Well, the stability, the thing works very aerodynamically. The thing cuts through the air better and works in the little corner a little bit better. With the wings on the front, well, it holds the front of the car down and keeps the front from pushing, and the big spoilers in the back. It keeps the rear end down and tied to the racetrack.
Much emphasis has been placed on wider tires at the Speedway the last few years. Better rubber compounds have also been developed, which not only give longer tread wear, but also better traction. Dan Gurney was asked if he noticed any significant handling and speed improvements with this year's extremely wide tires.
Well, they're not like magic, but the cars are going a little bit faster. Just how much we can attribute to the new wider tires is difficult to say. But indications are that they are an improvement.
Another new piece of equipment at Indianapolis this year is the new wraparound helmet, similar to those that the astronauts wear. Bobby Unser had these comments on the purpose of the new helmet.
Well, that's to keep them from getting hit in the face. The other old-style helmets doesn't leave you any protection in the face, so that helps you protect the face, and also in case of fire, it keeps the fire off of your face.
Pepsi-Cola has been a great Kentucky custom for years. Now the bottlers of Pepsi in Kentucky are giving their customers a chance to visit and enjoy some of the places that make Kentucky so great. The $60,000 Pepsi-Cola Rediscover Kentucky Sweepstakes offers local winners an exciting all-expense-paid tour of the Bluegrass State. In 7 days, winners will marvel at Mammoth Cave, the Natural Bridge, and the land between the lakes, go to Churchill Downs, and return to another era at historic Shakertown, plus many other Kentucky places of interest. Along the way, they'll stay at Kentucky State Park Lodges and the very best hotels and motels. There'll be hundreds of other local prizes each week. Get details where you buy Pepsi, that great Kentucky custom.
Introducing Elizabeth, one young lady who knows what she likes. Elizabeth likes ice cream and grandmother and little boys and Sunday school and coloring and fried chicken. Whenever you ask Elizabeth what kind of fried chicken she likes best, she always says,
Vanderbilt fried chicken.
The Indianapolis Speedway is the largest track that the championship car drivers run on. And for the Grand Prix or sport car drivers, the 500 is the only oval racetrack they drive all year. We asked some of the drivers what changes, if any, they must make in their driving techniques at Indianapolis.
It's just a matter of not so much technique as pressing yourself to the limit all the time, which you do on almost any oval, I should think. This limit is a little bit harder to find. The track doesn't feel as banked as it really is, and getting into the corners is difficult. You're running into aerodynamic problems. The chassis settings become very, very critical. The time on track is difficult to get. The engines are not getting any more reliable, and it's a big rigmarole that you have to go through in order to find things out. But you have to keep pressing for that. It's hard to tell just whether you're better off throwing away streamlining in order to get around the corner faster, or trying to go streamline and losing a little help in the corner. It's all a bunch of compromises.
Well, of course, the speeds, this is the fastest racetrack we run on, and of course we only run once a year here, so naturally we're not adjusted to the track when we get here the first day of May, so it takes a lot of practice laps. You have to maintain good speed through the turns. You can't use a lot of brakes, and find a very good pattern and run smooth. Your smoothness is a definite factor in how fast you will go.
Well, not much at all, really. It's the same sort of thing. It takes a little while to get used to driving on this track with the bank corners, and then when you've found the technique again, then you just settle down and get the car to suit your liking. But it takes a while, just a little while, to get back into the use to get used to driving here again.
Well, the speeds are much higher here. So you have to be very steady. You can't jerk the car around at all. You have to be very careful and very smooth. And you have to have everything just working perfectly here, because you have four corners each lap. Like most tracks, we have two corners, one on each end. This has four corners each lap, so each turn is just a little bit different. So you have to kind of set your car up for all the corners, you know, to where you can't just favor one corner and get to working good there and not worry about the other corners. So it is different from that aspect.
Well, I just, you know, I try and drive it to win. Of course, I've never finished it. So I can't. You just go out there and drive the way your equipment wants to go. You can go fast. The equipment wants going fast. Well, then that's the way you drive.
Well, I think racing generally is the same all over. It doesn't. More and more these days, you find A.J. Foyt driving in sports car races and Indy 500s in Trenton and stock car racing, and the sporty car drivers are running Indy. And I think that, you know, we're all learning to make the adjustment back and forth, and we all get to know each other. So I don't think there's any real vast adjustment to be made.
Mark Donahue began his racing career in 1959, driving a Corvette to victory in a hill climb in his very first attempt. In 1965, he won two national championships and was named Driver of the Year by SCCA. In 1967, Mark was United States Road Racing Conference champion, winning six of eight races. 1968 was his most successful year. He repeated as USRRC champion, and he also won the Trans Am Sedan Championship for Chevrolet. Mark won 10 of 13 Trans Am races in his Camaro and 5 of 8 USRRC events, and was named Driver of the Year by Martini and Rossi. With all these accomplishments, Mark is still considered a rookie at Indianapolis. Because he had never raced here before, he had to take a 40-lap driving test. Channel 18 asked Donahue how he felt about taking a test.
I thought it was a good thing, actually, because having never been here before and not knowing what the track was like, it was an opportunity to take 40 slow laps at a reduced speed to get familiar with the course without a lot of pressure on you to go real quick. And I think anybody, no matter what their status is in racing, you know, that comes here for the first time should probably do the same thing.
Several of last year's rookies are back at the Speedway this year. And we asked Gary Bettenhausen and Ronnie Bucknam what they had learned last year that would perhaps help them in this year's Indy 500.
Well, the main thing I think that you learn is, naturally you pick up experience and learn the racetrack, but the biggest thing is self-confidence and being able to come back here the second year and not have to worry about taking your rookie test and just have your mind on going to work and getting up to speed right off the bat.
Well, apparently nothing. I'm going slower than I did last year, but seriously, the more you run the Speedway, the easier it becomes, and it's just a matter right now of sorting out the car, and I don't feel that I need to put as many miles on the track, perhaps, as I did last year before I qualify.
This is the home of Kentucky Insurance Agency, where your insurance needs are handled with efficient, qualified professionals. General Manager Morgan Moore brings 15 years of solid experience with the needs of horsemen and businessmen, with Warren Wright Jr. and Gerald Gallivan serving the people of Lexington for 25 years. Underwriting Manager Ernie Collins, a well-trained, competent technician, has a full staff of girls who are trained to understand their work and serve you eagerly and courteously. When the phone rings at Kentucky Insurance Agency, you can be sure someone is there to receive your call. KIA represents 11 major companies with $4 billion in assets to back up its policies. Integrity is not a forgotten word at KIA. They do what they say they will. Remember, for your insurance needs, call the ones who qualify. Kentucky Insurance Agency.
The good guys in Lexington are with Ty Wilson, so for a better buy, go with Ty. That's the Dodge Boys. You'll find plenty of the White Hat specials at Ty Wilson's. Remember, it's performance that counts, and it's Dodge that counts in performance. Get Dodge Fever at Lexington Dodge, 255 East Main Street. ¶¶
world's best race drivers have spent the past month tuning up themselves and their cars for tomorrow. For 500 miles in over 3 hours, 33 men will average better than 155 miles per hour in trying to seek a pot of gold at the end of a rainbow worth over $175,000 to the first man across the finish line. Well, how does a man prepare himself both physically and mentally for this type of challenge? Drivers Jerry Grant and Wally Dallenbach had these answers.
As far as preparing myself mentally and physically for this particular race, this race is just like any other race in one sense, but in another sense it is the highlight of the racing season, so to speak, financially and prestige-wise. So I think we all put out a little larger effort at this particular speedway. I run, I live on the ocean in California, and I usually run between 2 and 5 miles a day, split it up in the morning and the evening. And then we work out about an hour in the gym, and I play lots of handball. On top of that, I ride a motorcycle quite a bit. And the fact is, I used to spend a lot of time with Gurney, which go up in the hills and keep sharp that way. Plus, we do a lot of testing for various companies throughout the United States, so we're on the racetrack quite a bit. As far as the mental attitude goes, it's probably, in my estimation, a secret of success. Your mental attitude has to be sharp, and you have to have a positive attitude. In other words, any driver who goes out on a racetrack without the intention of attempting to win that race or that he has a good chance of winning that race, in my estimation, is a loser. He shouldn't be on the racetrack. So that's kind of it in a nutshell.
Well, as far as the month of May is concerned, physically, I'm in as good a shape as I'll ever be. All through the winter months, I keep in pretty good shape. I go to these health spas in the winter. I belong to one back home. I do a lot of swimming and calisthenics during the winter. Of course, when I'm here, I do what calisthenics time allows, push-ups, chin-ups, and what have you, to keep my arms and shoulders in shape. Because this type of track and this long of a race, demanding on your arms and shoulders, especially the position that you're in. So I would say now that I'm ready for the 500 as far as physically is concerned. Well, mentally and naturally, we all go through the same problem, and that's getting miles per hour on a track and getting prepared for qualifying. To me, qualifying is more important than anything, even the race, because all your practice and everything you set out to do in the first couple of weeks of the month have to be crammed into 4 good laps, and if they're not good ones, it's not a good position, or it's not even in a race. So a good qualifying to me is most important. Of course, then we have a little time to prepare for the race, but as far as mentally is concerned, all my concern and worry now is getting up miles per hour, so I'm up in the first row or two if I could possibly get there.
How do you keep a race car that costs over $50,000 to create and an engine with more than $18,000 invested in it running? Well, that's the job of the chief mechanic of each crew. And on race day, every second save on each routine pit stop is of tremendous importance, because just 1 second at racing speed is equivalent to about 250 feet. The chief mechanic is the man who could be the difference between winning and not finishing at all. Super mechanics can't guarantee that you'll win, but they sure do help the paycheck. Chief mechanic Phil Casey was asked when he started preparing his car for the 500 Mile Classic.
Well, we'll start preparing the car as soon as we qualify. The day after we qualify, if we're running fast enough the first weekend, then we'll start preparing the car the Monday after qualification.
Some changes have to be made in each car after qualifications and the actual race itself. Chief mechanics Jack Beckley and Phil Casey were asked what some of these changes might be.
I think the time trials, the preparation for that is actually kind of a flat-out condition. We probably overtax the engine a little bit. In deference to the race setup, we go for the better mileage and for longevity, where in the qualifying preparation, you would, maybe in some cases use some nitromethane to go a little faster and things of that nature. With the turbocharged engine, you run the blower pressure up higher than you would for the race, and just do everything possible to get the most out of it for the four laps?
Well, we just go through and we overhaul the engine and the rear end and go through and overhaul everything and check everything, put everything back together.
For the first time in Speedway history, not a car was qualified either Saturday or Sunday of the first weekend of qualifications. Intermittent showers throughout the entire weekend limited the drivers to short practice periods. Jigger Saroy, a rookie at the Speedway this year, was the only driver to attempt a qualification run. But after several laps, he was waved in by his crew for insufficient speed. Arne Knepper was up next, but never got a chance to qualify as the rains came once again. The next weekend, the weatherman said go, and go they did. Arne Knepper was the first to qualify with an average speed of 166.220. Gordon Johncock was next with a speed of 168.626 average. And then came the man to beat, three-time winner A.J. Foyt. A.J. had gone 172-plus in practice, more than 2 miles per hour faster than any other speed recorded on the electric eye this season. His first qualifying speed was the fastest of the day at 171.625. Each of the three remaining laps were somewhat slower, but his overall average for four laps, a sizzling 170.568, the fastest, best time ever made by a piston engine at the Speedway. Mario Andretti should have been the man to beat. However, on the previous Wednesday, his car was demolished when the right rear hub snapped, sending the car against the wall and bursting into flames. Mario had recorded speeds of up to 171.789 in this particular car. Using his backup car, he qualified at an average speed of 169.851, good for the middle of the front row. Bobby Unser, last year's 500 winner, completed the front row with an average speed of 169.683. Next, on the inside of the second row, making his first appearance at the Speedway, Mark Donahue. He became the track's fastest rookie when he qualified his turbo offie at 168.903. After 3 hours of qualifying, 20 drivers had made the lineup, and by the time the track closed, five more had qualified. Last Sunday, the skies stayed clear and the remaining eight spots were filled. The fastest qualifier, Billy Vukovich, with an average speed of 164.843. On race day, thousands of multicolored balloons are released and float skyward as the closing notes of Back Home Again in Indiana are carried away by the spring breeze. The huge crowd of over 300,000 shows its appreciation of the spectacle with thunderous applause. And then comes a sudden hush in anticipation of Tony Holman's electrifying command, "Gentlemen, start your engines." Crewmen jump to their assigned tasks. 33 racing engines respond with a tremendous roar, and there are 500 miles to go. Has been brought to you by Porter Auto Supply, your headquarters for speed and custom equipment, 362 East Main Street, and by Pepsi-Cola Bottling Company and Lexington Dodge. And Kentucky Insurance Agency, a qualified team of professionals to furnish you with your every insurance need. And Zandale Plaza Car Wash.